Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Robertson. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, will you please pray for us?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, you are an excellent God.
Yes.
Lord, you care so much for us, Father, ministering to us, teaching us things each week, drawing us closer to you and providing for all of our needs. Father, I just thank you so much for these things and for this time to come together and to study your word. Lord, I just pray that you give us clarity of thought, keep us from distractions or any interruptions. Just let this be a time where we can focus solely on you, Father, to praise and magnify your name. Thank you, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Rob. Thank you. And for those of you that are with us live tonight, thank you. And we want you to do something for all of us. If you are on, you are with us by way of phone, please take down this number, 561-406-9853. 561-406-9853. And whenever you have a question while the teaching is on, call this number and leave your questions. You can call several times, all right? And we are going to get back to you. For those by way of computer or laptop, tablet, we just use the chat button and send your questions, and we're going to get back to you. Please do something for all of us. Keep everything around you quiet. Radio, phone, TV, etc., because this teaching is live. All right. At the end of our teaching, we are going to unmute everyone so that you will have the opportunity to ask question or make comment, whatever you want to do. Stay with us. Great teaching, and I pray that the Lord will bless all of us. Okay, now let us look at our text tonight. It's 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 to 2. That's all. 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 to 2. Pick up your Bible. I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. All right. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David, until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. All right, good. Now, last week we talked about, let's recap some of the things we talked about last week. Last week we talked about the background of Solomon's word. There are some things he did. The background of what he had contributed to some of the things he did. So, we know that God loved Solomon and gave him a name, all right, which means love by the Lord. And the name God gave Solomon through the prophet is Jedidiah. So, that means one who is loved by the Lord. Here's somebody, is David. We said David is a man after God's own heart, and now God gives Solomon a similar name. He's somebody that God really loves. So let's see what's going to happen here. Now, the kingdom of Solomon, let's revisit some of the things we talked about last week. The kingdom of Israel was in crisis when Solomon took over, because his brother Adonijah, when his father was very old, even though he was the one that was next in rank to become king, because Amnon was killed by the firstborn, who's supposed to have been the king, was killed by his brother Absalom. So then the lot fell to Absalom, and Absalom rebelled against his father, and he died while chasing his father to kill him. All right. So now the next person in rank was Adonijah. He was the next person. But when he saw his father so old and was about to die, he did something that we do not understand. All right? Instead of consulting his father, he just went and got all the key people in Jerusalem around him, and he crowned himself to be king. At that time, we said, what happened? Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah that David took from him, went to the king, influenced by Prophet Nathan, and said, King, you told me, you made a promise to me that my son Solomon would have become king. But here today, his brother now is king, and everyone is following him. That the aged king got up and said, today I'm going to fulfill what I have promised to you, Bathsheba, and call the prophet, order that Solomon should be crowned and anointed as king of Israel. And that went on. See, so some of the things we learned there was that when Solomon took over, his father left some unfinished business with him, like how I love how Rob put it, the last time. There was unfinished work. There were certain people he's supposed to have blessed and certain people he's supposed to deal with because of what he did to his father. So all of these things here, we say that they happen. And even though Solomon, he obeyed and did everything as was told by his father, but he also had the right to use his own mind to do something. But because those things that his father told him had to do with securing his throne, so Solomon followed up one by one. These are some of the things we learned last week. You know, his kingship started in crisis. We said that. See, so David now made a choice. So after that, there was an issue. Hey, Rob, you said you have something here on the recap.
I do. So, yes. So remember, Solomon was the son of Bathsheba and David. And as you point out, Bathsheba came to David to say, hey, what's going on here? I thought you promised Solomon was going to be our son.
Uh-huh.
You know, to contest what was happening with David's other son. And then shortly after she's talking with David, the prophet Nathan comes in and confirms this as well. So King David summoned the priests and several others and commanded Solomon to ride on his mule with his whole entourage to Gihon, where Nathan and Zadok, the priest, anointed Solomon to be king over Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you remember, king does mean anointed one. And
yes.
So here the priest anoints him with oil and declares it that now he shall be the king. So David keeps his word. Solomon becomes the king. And as you point out as well, you know, Solomon was the beloved of Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
And we read in 1 Kings 3:3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll want to pay attention tonight because we're going to see something that happens to his character.
Right.
And then we'll see the consequence of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. You got it. All right. Now, what we're going to do tonight, let us just look at the specific things that we're going to learn. At the end of this study, we will show you, listen very carefully, that King Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines, but scripture only had details on two of his wives. Now, can you imagine? 700 wives, 300 concubines, so that 1,000, the concubines, were considered wives, according to ancient history. 1,000, we only have in scripture two of his wives, details about them. So then, how about the 998? We got no records of most of them. We got no details on them. So how can we discuss them? We would not be able to do that. All right. Now, the second thing that we will be teaching here is the marriage between Pharaoh's daughter. And that daughter's name is not mentioned in scripture. And King Solomon was a political alliance, which is proven by Pharaoh's troops marching on Gaza, destroy it, and gave the captured kingdom of Gaza to his daughter, Solomon's wife, as her wedding gift. Wow. That's to prove that this was really a political alliance. All right. Now, the third thing that we'll study tonight, the only wife of Solomon mentioned, in the Bible who is named, is only one person. That's Naaman. It's not, the spelling seems to be the same, but the last alphabet different. Now, it's not Naaman, the Syrian, which is spelled N-A-A-M-A-N. But it is Naaman, and it's the last alphabet there is H. So I want you to get that. All right. That's the only wife name mentioned, Naaman. She was an Ammonite, a descendant of Lot's nephew. Of Abraham's nephew, rather. The Ammonites were longtime enemies of Israel. Now we're going to study that. He married to this lady, who was a descendant of Lot, Abraham's nephew, and they were people who were greatly against Israel. And as we get to our study, we'll learn more and more about that. All right. Solomon only, with 1,000 wives, I thought Solomon would have had more children than his father David. But Solomon had only 3 children, 2 daughters and 1 son. So these are what we're going to study, talk about tonight, and I pray that the Lord will help us to follow up. Now, here, the first thing that we want to point out here, Solomon married Pharaoh's daughter. And the next thing that we're going to check out is the purpose of the wedding. You know, it's important that we know about this. So, in our text tonight, as I have read, Solomon made a lot, and I love how the NIV, translated the whole thing. It said, Solomon married Pharaoh's daughter. It was a political alliance. All right? We know that the name of Pharaoh's daughter, that name is not mentioned anywhere in Scripture. So, we don't know the name, but all that we know, she was a daughter of the king of Egypt who married to Solomon. That we know. Now, there's something that I want us to look at carefully. We do not know exactly. There is no bride price mentioned in scripture about that. But that doesn't mean that Solomon did not pay the bride price marrying to the king's daughter. Well, we don't know, but because it's not mentioned, but let's look at a few facts here. We are certain that Solomon paid the bride price. He did, but it was not mentioned. How do we know that he paid and it was not mentioned? Note this. No king will give his daughter to another king without paying the dowry. You got to give that gift. So it was not like David who would go and on several occasions he would just walk and capture the people and take them. But it was a king, another king was marrying a daughter of another king. I think it was a great celebration, but we didn't have the detail in scripture. So we cannot conclude that he did not pay it, but it was not mentioned. This is the point that we are making. All right. Scripture said that Pharaoh captured Gaza and presented it as a wedding gift to his daughter. Now, based upon this text, now, which is in 1 Kings 9:16-17, it makes us to conclude that yes, Solomon paid the bride price. Why? For the father also gave what? Gift to her daughter. The next thing that we need to look at is that, what kind of gift is this? Now, what we know when we talk about gift, what do we do nowadays? This is an indication that the issue, this whole wedding was a political alliance. Let us not forget about it. Okay, the city of Gaza as a wedding gift. Wow. So, and I love what Elwell and Comfort wrote here. And I just want to read that to you. Okay, just listen very carefully. It's a quote here from them in their commentary. In their Tyndale Bible Dictionary. This is what they wrote there. Quote, after Solomon's marriage to the daughter of the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, whose identity is uncertain, captured and burned Gaza and gave it as a dowry gift to his daughter. Solomon rebuilt Gaza along with a number of other cities that served as store cities or chariot cities. He fortified Gaza and made a strong gate with four sets of piers, like those at Hazor and Megiddo, unquote. This is the fact that it was not like wedding where you and myself would buy a gift, go in the store and buy something, but the king marched on another kingdom and crushed them, and then took that kingdom and gave it to his daughter to be her wedding gift. And so then Solomon got to rule in that area. Solomon could not fight there and conquer the people. Gaza had been a very strong place that was, it was not easy to conquer. So there was really a political alliance. So we see that. Let us look at quite a few things. This city, the Hebrew scriptures relate that the Canaan city of Gaza had never fallen before the Israelites from Joshua to David. This is a very strong place. From Joshua to David, that city had never fallen. And it became a kingdom, very strong and powerful. Okay. And when you look at Joshua 16:10, and they drove not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gaza, but the Canaanites dwelt in the midst of Ephraim until this day and became sovereign to do task work. They were there, they became sovereign, but they were not totally driven from their area. They were strong people. Now, when you look at Judges 1:29, and Ephraim drove not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gaza, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gaza among them. What we're trying to prove here is that Gaza had not been driven out from their territory completely. Even though they were ruled, but they were not taken out completely. So they had strong roots in their own homes. They were not taken out. We see that in 2 Samuel 5:25. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistine from Geba until he came to Gaza. Now when he got to Gaza, he did not drive them out. So this is a point that we are making here, that was a strong city. This situation changed. The whole situation changed when the Egyptian army invaded the city. You know, ethnically cleansed the whole area, and the Pharaoh turned it over to his daughter as a wedding gift. Now, we see, let's look at the situation. Gaza was a very strong city, even though they were captured, but they never left their own home. When Solomon married to the king's daughter, the king of Egypt marched with his army and they captured that kingdom. It was a kingdom at the time. Captured them and gave them over to his daughter I said, wedding gift, that kind of wedding gift is something. Well, but I said, now, the next thing that we want to look in here is the purpose of this wedding. We, as we already said, it was a political alliance. Don't forget that. So Solomon married. He needed additional protection. Because the thing here is, in ancient times, I don't know about now, but even in ancient times, if you marry from any family, if you have a daughter from any family, anybody that attack you, that means they are attacking that family as well. So the family will come and support you because of your daughter. So when somebody attack your daughter, I mean your wife's family, that means the person also attack you. So it was the same thing. A king going around marry here and there. They were looking for some sort of political alliance, you know, for stability within their kingdom, for mutual protection. That is the key. All right. So, and this is why Solomon did some of the things. All right. And we get to find here that the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he did that. And because he had the power, he went and captured. He knew the history of Gaza. So he went and captured Gaza and gave it as a wedding gift to her daughter. So Solomon ruled that area, rebuilt the area, and continued to and that area continued to be on the kingdom of Israel. All right. So marrying another king was a defensive, it was a defense part at the time. Even I think the same thing is still going on today. Even in my culture in Africa, you know, if your daughter married to a man, anybody attack that man, you know, but you cannot go and fight nowadays. But you would still be of some support, you know, to help your daughter. We do that. All right. If anybody attack the father, then of course that man and his family will come and help his wife family to support them in whatever that is going on. So a kind of mutual protection in some way. Now, these are areas that we know. The first one that we are only talking about the names that are mentioned in scripture. All right. So we talk about Pharaoh's daughter. The name is not mentioned anywhere, so that's it. Pharaoh's daughter. All right, that's all we know. And the whole wedding for what? It was a political alliance. Let us not forget that. Now, the second thing that we need to look at tonight is another woman that Solomon married was Naama, which is the last alphabet there is H. It's not N. It's not Naama the Syrian. All right. So I want you to get that distinction. All right. She was an Ammonite woman. Solomon married her. We have no record of the bride price. But I'm sure that, you know, Solomon might have paid something. Solomon and Naama had a son. God bless the marriage. And they had a son. And that son's name is Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the one who succeeded Solomon. All right? And during his reign, there came about the divided kingdom. So Rehoboam's mother was Naama, the Ammonite woman. Let us not forget that. Solomon had two daughters, Tapfath and Basemath. By other women, we don't know. Not by Naama. We don't know exactly those other daughters who their mothers, we don't know. Rob, you got something here. You got a note here.
Yeah, what you said just a moment ago reminded me of one of our previous discussions.
Uh-huh.
When we talked about cutting covenant.
Yes.
Remember, marriage is a blood covenant.
Yes.
Where the two are joined together, they become one.
Right.
So just as you said, you know, when you cut covenant, you're saying everything I have is now everything that you have. We
right.
both joined it.
You got
and
it.
Everything you have becomes everything I have. Therefore, our families also come together. And so they join together and defend each other. So yes, so there is that component.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was just thinking about that. Because there's so much to cutting covenant, and we forget about these things.
Yes.
So yeah, so we do see Solomon doing that here. Now about Naamat, in 1 Kings 14:21,
uh-huh.
we read about her son, mm-hmm. Rehoboam. And he was 41 years old when he began to reign.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is what happens during his reign. So Solomon forms a partnership with the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
Bidishan takes over, and we're going to see in a moment the difference between the two reigns. And it's also important to remember that she is, as you point out, an Ammonite.
Mm-hmm.
So that may have something to do with it as well. We'll find out. And then, yeah, it's interesting. I was looking up at her name. Her name means loveliness or pleasantness.
Right.
Which is interesting. And so I was wondering, so did Solomon marry her because of beauty, because of the difficulty he's had with these people?
We don't know.
What might have been, we don't know. Scripture is silent, but it just got me to thinking.
Uh-huh.
And in a moment, as you point out a couple other things, we're going to see a significant change or departure from what we learned about in the very beginning about Solomon.
Right.
So thank you.
Thank you. Good. Now let us focus on Solomon, second, the other wife that we have detailed on, the second one is the Naamah, the Ammonite. Who were the Ammonites? And you know, when Scripture, give every word in Scripture, it has some meanings. Mean words, you got to follow them up and you know why they are there. Why is it that it said Naamah, the Ammonites? That's a reason. Okay. So the Ammonites were the descendants of Benjamin, Lot's younger son, by his daughter, born in a cave near Zoar. You can read that in Genesis 19:38. When Lot had a problem, and Sodom and Gomorrah was burnt down, Lot and his family got saved. And then his wife turned to salt. We know that story. But when they went into a cave, Lot and his two daughters, they were in a cave, and incest took place. This is where we see the beauty of Scripture, the grace of God, the love of God for men. I just love this. The beauty of Scripture, the love of God, His grace. Now, so the Ammonites were the descendants of Lot's nephew. I mean, of Abraham's nephew. Let's not, of Abraham's nephew, Lot. All right, and it came about as a result of what? Incest. At the time of the Exodus, Israel did not conquer Amnon when it came. However, the Ammonites were condemned for joining the Moabites in hiring Balaam and were forbidden to enter the congregation of Israel to the 10th generation. In the days of the judges, the Ammonites assisted Eglon of Moab to subdue Israelite territory. When you read that in Judges 3:13. So the Ammonites have been some sort of enemies for Israel as a long time enemy. So why did he marry? And this is why did he marry this lady? Is it because Solomon included an Ammonite woman in his harem, and he worshiped their gods. This is an issue that Solomon had, but we'll get to that when we looking at his leadership and so forth. We'll go in deep on that. An Ammonite woman, Naamah, was the mother of Rehoboam. We talked about that already. In the days of Jehoshaphat, the Ammonites joined Moabites and the Edomites in a raid on Judah. Can you imagine? Rob, you see what I'm talking about here? It's tough. Here is a group of people that are always against Israel. What do you think about this, Rob?
Well, yeah, there were several of these peoples that constantly plagued the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
After their exodus, they were just perpetually striving against them until Solomon came in, and then they had peace during his reign, but not after his reign, as we're going to see in a moment.
Yeah, but this is the same thing. This is a serious thing. Now, after the return from exile, Tobiah, the governor of Ammon, hindered the building of the walls by Nehemiah. You can read that text. Look at Nehemiah 2:10, Nehemiah 19, Nehemiah 4:3. The Ammonites survived into the second century BC at least, since Judas Maccabeus fought against them. This is a long time enemy of the people of Judah. They always started off with the enemy to fight them. But Solomon took a wife from there. This is where we continue to study. Pay attention. We getting there. Now, when we talk about Naaman's, there were about three or four in scripture. All right. Not Naaman the Syrian. Please, I want you to just make sure that the one that ends in N, N-A-A-M-A-N, is Naaman the Syrian general. But N-A-A-M-A-H is the one who's the Ammonite woman. And then we have one or two others, Naaman. But let's go into it in detail. Now we have one Naaman who was the daughter of Lamech and Zillah and sister of Tubal-Cain. You can find that in Genesis 4:2-2. Now, according to some scholar, let's say Abba B. Kahana, Naaman was Noah's wife. I think we talked about this when we're discussing Noah, right, Rob? We discussed this, that there was speculations and scholarly, but because it's not in scripture, so we cannot present it as the fact. But there are other scholars that said, look, Noah's wife was the daughter of Lamech. See? And Lamech, you know, we have two Lamechs in that line. We got the Lamech of the descendant of Seth. Then we had the Lamech of the descendant of King. So in that light, if it is proving that Naaman was the wife of Noah, then we cannot conclude that the descendants of King all perished during the flood. That was some of the things we discovered. But anyway, we're not there right now. We're on different thing. So here, that's one in scripture. Now then we come to this Naaman, who was the descendant of the Ammon, the Ammonites. So it's the one that we are talking about now, who the mother of Rehoboam, Solomon's wife. All right. Now, another Naaman, it was a city. A city was named Naaman. It was not a person, but it was a city. A town of Judah, it's one of the towns in Judah, mentioned that it was called it Naaman. All right, so these names, we got two or three of them, human being, and the other one, it was the name of a city. All right. So now this is a place where we need to think. Solomon married an Ammonite woman. Let's see the purpose. We come to the purpose. Rob, I got you here, and you say you have a note because that we just got to speculate what Solomon is doing here. What do you think he's doing here?
Yeah. Well, so as you said, only Solomon knew why. You know, Scripture doesn't speak to what his thinking was. But as you mentioned earlier, when he married Pharaoh's daughter, it was likely out of political strategy.
Mm-hmm.
The same might be here true as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a couple things that I think we need to think about.
Mm-hmm.
One, Scripture is clear about marrying foreigners, those that are not of the faith.
Right.
Particularly when they're talking to the Israelites. Deuteronomy 7:1 says, when God brings them out of foreign lands, that they shall not make marriages with them.
Mm-hmm.
Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me,
right,
that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So it starts out in Deuteronomy 7:1 and goes up through 7:4, where God is talking about this, where he's moved the Israelites out of these foreign lands, and he's warning them against taking wives from them. And then Scripture also gives a set of commandments to kings to guide them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we read this a little bit later in Deuteronomy, in chapter 17. First, in verse 16, it says, "A king shall not multiply horses," you know, amassing an army, mm-hmm. if you will. And we had talked about that as well in a previous study, particularly when we were talking about a mule and what that means, and donkeys and so on.
Yeah.
The next verse, verse 17, also referring to a king, that neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply himself silver and gold.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very clear, not to multiply houses, wives, not to multiply horses,
yes,
wives, or their wealth. Even Solomon wrote in Proverbs 23:4, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the New Testament, we read in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, "For what shall it profit man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?"
Right.
So the thing that I'm pointing out here is that we see Solomon, who is aware of Scripture, is aware of these commands, even penned some of them himself. We see that he's disobedient to it.
Yes.
He started out walking with God, listening, and rebuilding the temple, but then he starts acquiring wives. And then we read that all of these other kings from around the world, the world leaders, are coming to him,
mm-hmm.
As well, seeking his guidance. So, you know, all these things decrease our dependence upon God. And we see that he appoints officers who make perpetual victuals for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing I wonder is this affecting his pride? You know, more and more people are coming to seek out his wisdom,
mm-hmm.
to inquire of him, and they're bringing riches left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And is he turning around and using those riches to acquire more wives? You know, we don't know.
Yeah.
So what was the result of this? Well, Scripture is clear about that.
Huh.
And we read about it in 1 Kings chapter 11.
Yeah.
First in verse 3, and then a little bit later in verse 3, it says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women." And a little bit later in that verse, it says, "And his wives turned away his heart."
His heart. Yes.
And then in verse 5 through 7, it says, "For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians,"
uh-huh.
"and after Milcom, the abomination of Ammonites." So here we see now, Naaman has affected who he's worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
"And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord. So he's still apparently going after the Lord, but not fully, as David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem,
right,
and for Moloch. And we've read about Moloch before as well, who was another one of the gods that they used to sacrifice their babies to.
Right.
And it was the abomination of the children of Ammon. So now we see he's his heart's being turned. He's moving away from God. And that's what happens as you start acquiring these things, all these possessions and the women, the culture starts to affect him.
Right.
And not only him, but in Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 through 27, we read this. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab.
Yeah.
And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contend with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things?
That's right.
Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who is beloved of his God, and God made him king over all of Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause him to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? So again, Scripture is reminding the people. The people start to go astray after Solomon.
Right.
And he reigned for 40 years. He had a long reign.
He had a long reign, yeah.
There was peace. Yeah, and there was peace in the land, as we read. But then, when Rehoboam took over, if you remember, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh,
had
given much to Solomon. But now his son takes over, and in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 25 through 26, we read, and it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord,
that's
the treasures of the king of the house. And he even took away all, and he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. So now, in one stroke, one generation later, it's all gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Good. Thank you, Rock. You nailed it, man. You nailed it. So we do not know, but the one thing, only Solomon alone knew why he married the Ammonite woman. Because we know, historically, they were enemies to the people of God. That we know. Okay, is it? Was it? Did he marry this lady thinking that marrying her will bring unity in that part of his kingdom? I don't know. You know, because marriage as a whole has to do with what, mutual protection. It was a covenant in a sense where you cut it and both parties should come together to be one. If I marry to your daughter, I cannot bring war in your house. When you marry to my daughter or my son, you cannot bring war in my house. Or you cannot even wish me evil. Now we see, like what Rob have said, when Solomon died, Rehoboam took over. What happened? The other king of Egypt came against Jerusalem and took away everything. Why? Because during Solomon's reign, the king that resided at the time took so many interest in Solomon because his daughter was with him and crushed a whole kingdom, gave it to the daughter as a gift, and those things went on. When his son got in the seat, the whole thing changed. This is where we think. So, and Solomon married Hittite women. He married women from Edomites women. Moabites women. Solomon married from different. Is it for political alliance or for what? Only Solomon can answer that question. But all in all, and I love what Rob said. Now let us look careful. When you read the text carefully, Solomon started really with the fear of God, moving in the steps of his father David. But when he married to all these women, they turned his heart away from his God. And Solomon began to do so many evil things against the God of Israel. Okay. Now, tonight, before I will stop here, and next week we will continue Solomon, because there's other area that we need to cover. But thank you tonight for those of you that are joining us live, and those who are with us by way of replay. We thank you. This is what, before Ra gave us our concluding points tonight, do this for us. When you are viewing the video on our website, leave us a comment. Let us know what you think about it. If it is on YouTube, what do? There is thumbs up and thumbs down. Hit the button with your choice. All right, or below it, give us what you think about what we do. That will help us. That will also help us to serve you better. So, we want to thank God. Solomon's story the teaching on Solomon is great. He married from all over. 1,000 wives. Concubines were wives, so 1,000. But we only know about two. Only one name was mentioned. And with the 1,000, Solomon had three children. Two daughters and one son. And that one son was Rehoboam. He took the mantle of his father, and through his leadership, the kingdom was divided. So, Rob, before you come in, anybody got a question tonight? Anything you want to ask, or any comments you want to make before Rob can come in and give us our concluding remarks? All right, thank you. Okay, well, Rob.
Yes.
All right, can you conclude for us?
Absolutely. So as we learn through this study, we see Solomon starting out on the right path.
Yes.
And then his heart, as he acquires more and more, and we see him turning away from God and moving more into the direction of the culture that is influencing him.
Uh-huh.
Now, was he chasing riches? We don't know. We know he was seeking after wisdom.
Right.
And we know he was acquiring these wives, and he was acquiring many things, horses, undertaking the temple building, building his house, leaving a legacy for himself, if you will. But the thing we see throughout Scripture as we read, God reminds us that he cares for us, and he provides for us.
Surely.
In the New Testament, we read that, you know, God cares for the birds in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the lilies and these things, and it compares those to Solomon saying, these things in nature are clothed in much greater splendor than Solomon ever was arrayed in with all of his wealth. You know, and if God cares for the birds, how much more does he care for us? Hmm. You know, so as we think about these things, we need to realize what is important. Is that instead of chasing riches or chasing after women, or in this case, multiple wives that we see Solomon, is instead to immerse ourselves in the Scripture, to draw close to God.
Amen.
And to let go of these things. Mm-hmm. We have to move in the opposite direction. The goal of the enemy is to slowly creep in,
mm-hmm.
and to distract us and get our minds off these things. We get so caught up in trying to pay the bills, go through the daily routine of life, working our job, tending to everything, and it gets so busy and so chaotic that we don't even realize we're adrift.
Yes.
Moving farther and farther away from God. We may be even going to church every week.
Mm-hmm.
But where is our heart starting to shift? Well, it's worrying more about, oh, I got to pay this next bill. Oh, I need to make this. And oh, I got to save for this. And oh, if I could just move into this other position and have a little bit more. No, the thing I've realized is if you let go of all that and you learn to look at what you have and learn to live with less and let go,
mm-hmm.
life is so much better, and our relationship with God, which is what it's all about,
mm-hmm.
starts to grow and grow abundantly. So let's learn from Solomon,
mm-hmm.
and not make his mistake. Instead, let's go the opposite direction. He gave us lots of great proverbs, many of which he heeded in the beginning of his life, but then he started to move away.
Right.
So let's not do like he did. Let's actually take his advice and draw closer to God and deepen our relationship and let go of these things.
Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, everybody. And Rock, can you just, you know, finish it with prayer?
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we just we come to you so thankful, Father, for your love and your care for us, Father. Mm. Lord, we don't need anything but you, Father. With you, we can do anything. We can accomplish anything. And we know that you will meet our needs. You'll clothe us. You'll feed us. You'll provide for us and our families. Lord, only you
only
we
you,
can
Father.
Depend on. Nothing else. If we try to rely on government programs or employers or anybody else, it may be there for a day or a couple of days, but eventually it will fail because it is man-made.
Mm-hmm.
And man, as we've seen all through our study, Father, man is a sinful and fallen being. Yes. We are finite creatures. We are not omniscient. Mm-hmm. We are not omnipotent as you are, Father. Lord, we just praise you for that. And thank you. Thank you so much for showing us these things, Father. And Lord, just help us to draw closer to you to our family, to those that we love. Thank you for this study.
Thank you,
in Christ's name I pray.
Hey.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Join us next week, Sunday at 8 p.m. Every Sunday at 8 p.m. Join us. All right. Thank you so much. We will finish up Solomon by the grace of God next week. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you.